Have you ever been thrown a curveball in life? It's funny after it happened, but it isn't funny when it happens. Put up your hands if you've ever been thrown a curveball in life. Okay. We're living in a time when people are losing their jobs, losing their homes, businesses are going under. Economically, it's difficult, to say the least. I don't talk about it a lot because the more you talk about it, the worse it seems to be. But it is very weird. It is very real. And when these times come, at first we start trusting God, and then when the pressure gets on, we forget about the principles that we have learned in the house of God. And we go off into other directions. And then we start criticizing leadership and people and pastors. And then we get mad at God. But I want you to understand something. Regardless of what you're going through today, God has not abandoned you. God has not rejected you. And God has not said no to you. I want to talk to you about developing a culture of generosity. I looked up the word generosity in the dictionary. And when I talk about generosity, I'm talking about not only money, but our time, our labor, and all things like that. The word generosity in the dictionary, first two meanings that I saw were rather obvious. Number one, readiness or liberality in giving. Number two, a generous act. And number three, freedom from smallness of mind or character. Whoa. Let me say that again. Freedom from smallness of mind or character. If we have a problem with being generous, perhaps we have a character issue. Down in San Diego, there's a couple who, when they built their home, they built a room and a bathroom and gave it to Kathy and I so that any time we come through, that is our room and our bathroom, whether we're going to South America or England or ministering throughout the U.S., that is our room. They've given it to us gratis, free of charge. Every once in a while, they have guests. And they'll call up us, even in Australia, and say, can we have permission to use your room? And I go, it's your home. I say, but that's your room. Of course, we give them permission. But you remember the fires in Southern California a few years ago? Fires were coming up their valley, 60 feet in the air, and this has been written in a newspaper. And Steve got a truck to try and get rid of the valuables and realized he didn't have time to do it. Stood on the back veranda of his house and cried out to God. He said, God, I've tithed, I've given offerings, I've been generous, I've never had to ask you for anything because the job I have supplies more than enough for our lifestyle. But today, I'm calling it in. You need to do something, or we're going to lose our house. And here's what happened. The fires raged up the valley, stopped 6 feet from the back of his home, went around the corner of the house 6 feet out, and burned on up the valley. Come on. Somebody said to me, that's coincidence. I said, hey, fires 60 feet high with flames don't burn up to 6 feet from your house and then go, whoa, whoa. We better go around the corner here. They just keep on burning. Green grass around their house, 6 feet out. We came in 3 weeks later. It was amazing to see. In 2 Kings 4 and 2 Kings 8, kind of a similar story. A couple living in the hills of Shunem. Quite well off. No children. Evidently, they were unable to have children. The historians indicate that the husband was considerably older than the wife. And over a period of time, they noticed a man of God coming by, and they would let him stop there, and they'd feed him and let him bathe and so on. But then they made a decision. And they built a room, or if you like, a small apartment on the side of their house. They furnished it, and they gave it to the man of God, Elisha, and said, this is yours. It was not for anybody else. So when he'd come by, he had a place to stay. We might call that a generous offering to the kingdom of God. Nobody commanded them to give it. Nobody told them to give it. They saw a need and they met the need. The Bible tells us if somebody needs a cup of water, give it to them. If somebody needs a coat, give them your coat. You don't need to pray about that. Hello. Oh, I'll go pray about whether I should give him a cup of water. Just do it. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says this. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I'm sure you are aware that the word cheerful in the original Greek means hilarious. When was the last time you laughed during the offering? I was pastoring in New Zealand years ago, and we decided to have a month of hilarious offerings. If you weren't laughing, we gave it back to you. And we did. God honored this family, and in particular, this woman, from the time that they gave this generous offering. And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that we can buy God's miracles, for we cannot. But it is true that if we sow, we reap. If we give, we receive. And if we're generous with God, God is generous with us. Let me give you 6 reasons why we don't want to be generous. Usually you get 7 reasons to be a success. The first one is fear. Fear that if we are generous, there will not be enough left over for ourselves. Let me say something to you. We as ministers are no different to you. We go through very often the same crises that you go through. We're not exempt from those. And this year for Kathy and I, if I might say it this way, we've been to hell and back. Twice. I thought the next day we're going to lose absolutely everything. And one day in our living room, I say to Kathy things like, something's wrong. I've done something wrong. And I forget the principles that I know well. I don't know what's going on. And Kathy says to me, don't give up. Don't quit. God has not forgotten us. God is working on our behalf, even though we can't see it yet. I go into my little office and I sit down. God speaks to me. And He says to me this, if you lose everything, what will you do? I thought about Job and that most catastrophic time that he lived. At the end he said, all I know is my Redeemer lives. And I said to God, if we have to live under a bridge, I will praise you. I will praise you. See, when we get under pressure, we forget, like I said earlier. And then we start getting upset at the church, and then the leaders, and then the pastors, and then we get mad at God. And we don't realize God has not abandoned us. God has not rejected us. God has not said no to us. God is working on our behalf, even though we cannot see it at the moment. The phone went right after I answered. It's a friend of mine, a businessman. I play golf with him. And I say this not by way of criticism, just by way of fact. He's never given us anything, anytime. And that's okay. He calls up and he says, my wife and I have been praying. We're going to give you some money. So I'm thinking, 20 bucks. And I'm sort of, in my heart, I'm saying to God, that ain't going to help. Need more than that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then when he told me what he was giving us, I had to repent. I nearly swallowed my tongue. And here's what he said, and if anybody said this to me, that they got this from God, I would say that's kind of weird. He said this, God told us to give you this money to see you through until Calvary arrives. Wow. Wow. Not the cavalry, Calvary. Wow. Number two, cynicism. It's all right for everybody else, but this lifestyle is not for me. Number three, laziness. You have to work at being generous. It doesn't come naturally. It requires effort. And it's very easy to forget about being generous in the midst of crises. See, being generous is not about how much you have, but about what you do with what you have. I walked past a man who was on a pavement, obviously homeless, had a tin can, he was playing the violin badly, had a sign that he needed money to live, money for food, but he also had on it, if anyone has a job, I will work. I thought, that's good. Carried on walking. And God said to me, what are you doing? I said, well, that's good. He'll work. God said, no. Put something in there. Oh, okay. So walk back and put a little something in there. And God says to me, as soon as I put it in, I stood up. He said, is that all? Oh, you got to understand me and God. We have this funny conversations going. Is that all? I know what he's saying by what he's not saying. He said, that's stingy. All right. I don't remember what I gave, but I gave something and walked away. And God said, that's better. Okay. You got to work at it. Number four, bad habits. We're more interested in taking care of ourselves than helping anyone else. Number five, arrogance. An arrogant attitude is, I'm more important than anything or anybody else. Number six, culture. Oh, this is a big one. See, my father left home when I was 6 and a half and never supported us. So we lived as kids and growing up to be teenagers on 2 meals a day and sometimes less. And any time my mother got some money, she held on to it because there may be no more coming. And so we learned to hold on to every penny. And then one day we all got saved and things changed. And I don't know how my mother got it so quick, but she got it. And I can remember this actually would happen. She'd have 2 tomatoes and she'd say to me, all right, Al, you're the oldest, take this tomato and give it to one of the neighbors. Why? And I'd do it, and some of the things they'd say to me were unbelievable. But what she was doing was being generous out of the little that she had. It wasn't about what they needed or didn't need. It wasn't about what they said. It was about what we needed. And we needed to learn to become generous with the little that we had. One day she announced, on one Sunday morning, she announced she's going to invite all these people home after church to have a meal. That's okay if you got food. Well, my brothers and I are trying to get an invite everywhere else, but everybody's coming to our house. Oh, it's going to be bad. We're seated around the table, and they're seated everywhere. My mother says to me, say grace, Al. Well, I'm one of these guys that likes quick grace. If God puts a hot meal in front of me, I'm thankful, but it's got to be quick. I want to eat it hot. If you want to have a prayer meeting, go somewhere else. Anybody with me on that? Yeah. I've had guys that have been going on and on and on and on in grace. And in the middle, I just have enough. I go, amen. I know it's rude, but I want to eat. So she says, say grace. Well, I know when I get through, there ain't no food. So I sang grace. I prayed for every missionary I'd ever heard of. I prayed for missionaries I'd never heard of. I prayed for every country. I made up countries. And then I hear a knock at the back door. I said, amen, I'm out of there. There's a couple. I said, Al, we're sort of embarrassed. Why? Well, last night God told us to make this big beef stew, and they got one of those big camp pots, you know? And we brought it here, and well, we just felt like God told us to do it, so we did. So, well, put it on the counter and come in and say hello to everybody. No, we got to go. So they go, and I go back in. My mother says to me, serve it up. So I'm acting like there's nothing out there. Just serve it up, Al. All right. Afterwards, I said to her, you knew they were bringing food. She said, no. I said, you knew when they somebody knocked on the back door, that was food. Well, I was hoping. Well, what if there was no food? That's all right. In the Bible, they kept pouring out of pots. And it didn't stop, even though it was empty. So you can do that. Oh. My mother got it good. The eight miracles that happened to this family and primarily this woman after they were generous was this. Number one, about a year after they do it, she gives birth to a child, son. Number two, when the son dies, she takes the son to the prophet and the prophet raises him from death to life. Number three, she's pre-warned about a coming drought that's going to last 7 years. Number four, she survives all that 7 years plus because they say it would have taken about 12 months to travel to a foreign country and back. She survives in a foreign country for all of that without a breadwinner. Today, husbands and wives work, but back then, if the husband died, the wife very often would be what we would say on the street. Number five, she survives there. Number five, when she comes home, she gets an audience with the king. Not only was it difficult then, it's difficult now. And they've got to want to see you rather than you see them. I've had a few of those. Number six, when she gets in to see the king, who's in there but Gehazi, who's backslidden, and he's telling the king about the little boy that Elisha raised from death to life, and in walks the mother. Not coincidence. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord. Number seven, the king gives her back her home and her land, and you lost it if you were gone for 7 years. It was taken away. And number eight, he gives her back everything the land would have produced during the 7 years. And a couple of historians say if it had been good years. But whether it was good years or just 7 years like they said, that was miraculous. What she didn't know when she was in that foreign country was that God was working a miracle on her behalf. Come on, are you hearing me? Something like this today. You're working at a job. You decide to take a 7-year vacation. You go to the Garden of Eden, Australia. And you come back home, you go back to your old job, see some old friends, some are still working. The owner of the business sees you, come into my office, and he hands you an envelope. It's a check. And you say, what's this? Oh, while you've been away, I've been putting your wages aside for you. No overtime, just 40 hours a week. Think about it. You've not used any for mortgage or rent, for gasoline, for food, for entertainment, You didn't buy any tickets to the Lakers. Vacation. So it goes on. That's the kind of miracle this lady had. Come on, are you hearing me? Come on. Third John verse 2 says this. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And soul is mind, emotion, and will. Watch this. Joel chapter 2 verse 23. I will restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. Years. It's gone. But God says, I will restore those years. Come on, are you hearing me? I will restore those years. I don't know if God's miracle will happen to you today, tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, whatever. But somewhere, sometime, God will restore the years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. Hallelujah. You ever heard the phrase, your ship will come in? Well, somewhere, sometime, listen to me, your ship will come in. My ship will come in. It will happen. I say it again. God has not abandoned you. God has not rejected you. God has not left you. He is working. You know what I don't like about God sometimes? Is sometimes He leaves things till the very last second. Oh, man. I go, couldn't you have done it earlier? Proverbs 11:25. A generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. Proverbs 11:24 from the Message Translation. Oh, I love this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Wow. I want you to repeat that out loud after me. All right, ready? The world of the generous. Whoa, whoa, whoa. After me. You're so anxious. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Let's all say it together. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Now I want you to shout it out from the depth of your spirit, not your head, your spirit. Ready? Shout it out. Ready? Oh, that's great. Say it. Do it again. One more time, please. Last week in the pastor's thing, Pastor Jim was doing something on offerings. And he put up the prayer that you guys have been saying. I looked at him and went, that's my last point of the message. But we're going to do it anyway. All right, let's put the prayer up. Everybody stand, please. Let's say that really loud. I mean really loud. You ready? As I give, I am believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, settlements, estates and inheritances, estate income, returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessing and increase, miracle money. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Money cometh. Hallelujah. You know, David just shows up out of nowhere. It's a miracle. Hey, I'm going to pray. Let's do that offering prayer one more time. And Pastor Dan's going to come. But let's shake it. Shake the rafters, or do we have any? But the roof, hallelujah. Say it with everything you got. Ready? As I give. For jobs, raises and bonuses, sales and commissions, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Money cometh. Hallelujah.